Welcome to the Speak Your Success Podcast.
Welcome to the Speak Your Success Podcast. I'm your host, TEDx speaker and best-selling author Jonathan Jones. And today we have a special guest in the building. We're not going to get to him just yet. We're going to hold on 1 second because you know how we do here at the Speak Your Success Podcast. Successors, how are we doing? First, we're going to kick this off as we always do by putting a spotlight on our Apple review of the week. And this review comes from Mr. Tayrail713. And the review is titled, "You Need This in Your Life." I don't attend church services, but I used to. The only two things that I ever find myself missing from it are the positive affirmations and sometimes needed guidance that sometimes came from the pulpit. This podcast is that to me. Much needed real talk and super easily digestible shows that comes to me and really gets me going. Tayrail, we want to thank you, brother, for taking the time to check out the Speak Your Success podcast. We appreciate your review, a 5-star review that he left us. We're very grateful for all the listeners. We're very grateful for all the supporters and individuals who have helped us reach this point, because now we're episode 102. This is episode 102, and this is our first Feature Friday. I felt that it was so necessary. I talk about this gentleman so often. I bring him to mind a lot of times. I use some of his quotes here and there. And I also feel that I followed in his footsteps. Whoa. So now we welcome to you the world's only worthologist. We have Dr. Fred Jones in the building today. Dr. Fred, how are we doing, sir?
Oh, sir, glad to be here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Who is Dr. Fred Jones? We're going to just jump right into it. Who is Dr. Fred Jones?
Dr. Fred Jones. I am born by the name of Frederick D. for Devon Jones. That's what my mom named me, Frederick Devon Jones. I've taken on the brand of Dr. Fred Jones because my doctorate is a Juris Doctorate. That's a law degree, okay? So I'm a United States Supreme Court attorney. I am a tenured college professor. I taught business law and ethics for many years on the graduate and undergraduate level. I'm a publisher. I help high achieving women walk in their worth, value their voice, and tell their story. Best-selling author of about 5 books. So I'm an ordained minister, and I'm a father of 2 phenomenal sons. One of them would be Fred Jones Jr., and the other one would be that young man right there, Mr. Jonathan Jones. So of who I am, I would say I'm a father, a lover of God, and a lover of people.
Gotcha. I'm actually glad that you said that you were a father, because I didn't say that you were my father. I just said Dr. Fred Jones. But yeah, so today I wanted to bring you on. I wanted you to be the first guest for our Feature Friday, because I worked with you on my book that I've talked about many times, because with this podcast, who we typically address, the audience is about split down the middle between male and female.
Okay.
And the audience typically is ranging from maybe 18, because I've spoken in high schools and I have shared the message about the podcast. So 18, maybe ranging all the way up to 35, maybe even plus. So just to get an idea of who we're talking to, and I always share with the successors on the podcast that the goal here is for us to be transparent. The goal here is to give them tangible application. The goal is to make sure that something that is shared or something that is said on the podcast ultimately adds value to them, and so that they can begin to use strategies into where they can see success in their life. So setting the background with that, can you tell us a little bit of your story, just so that people can get a feel for who you are? On an intimate level, just who, because you told us your name, you told us, you know, where you were born, you told us you're a father, but let us see another side of you.
I'll do that. I'll do that, because you said transparent, something that's tangible.
Yes, sir.
And you like to also teach. Okay.
Definitely.
So transparent,
definitely.
Tangible, and teachable. I'm a man acquainted with failure. I failed in 3 key areas of my life. I failed in the marketplace, I failed in my marriage, and I failed in the ministry. Okay? Marketplace failure. I failed the bar exam. I failed the bar exam 1 time, 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, 7 times before I passed the bar exam.
And then what exactly is the bar exam for those who might not know?
The bar exam is a test that you take after you finish law school.
Okay.
In Louisiana, it's a 3-day, 8-hour test given 2 times a year.
Wow.
Only 2 times a year, February and I think October, August. And so I failed that bar exam 5, 6, 7 times and until I passed it. That was one of the hardest failures in my life, okay? I failed in my marriage, okay? I was a young man, and I didn't know how to be a father, a husband, and to be faithful and to honor those vows and to do what I had to do. As a result, there was a lot of failure there. I faced that failure. But I think the thing that was most challenging was the failure. One of the things, all of this is ugly, but the other one is to fail in my ministry. And I often tell people this, that I failed in the ministry because when you find yourself sleeping with the sheep, you have fallen. And as a result of that, God took that failure and flipped it. And now I'm a worthologist, helping people walk in their worth, value their voice, helping women walk in their worth. So the very thing in the very area that I failed the hardest, God has turned that around, and now I'm able to encourage and support people through that failure to embrace their worth and value in God. And it has been a phenomenal, phenomenal journey. I believe that your deepest pain point has the potential of being your highest paying point. So when you flip your pain, you make your pain pay you back.
You make your pain pay you back. I like that. And I think you really hit on something really powerful there, because I think a lot of times in this day and age, with whomever the individual might be across the generational spectrum, youngest or older, that when we hit a wall, or when we hit failure, we want to quit, period. But what you're telling us is that when you hit failure, you had to keep going with taking the bar 1, 2, 6, 7 times before you were victorious. You had to push through that failure. You had to push through that pain. And then you were able to embrace more of a purpose role as opposed to just staying in a position of being a victim and being in a position where you've been beaten down. So I think that's really powerful. I think that's a place where we all can identify, because I believe we've all failed something, if it be a test, if it be failed at work, if it be a failed relationship. Maybe not even a marriage. Somebody may have just a relationship. But I think that's really great information for you. So when we talk about failure, now I want to ask you another question. I want to ask, when would you say was the biggest turning point for you in your life? Because now, I'm not sure if the audience does know, but now you said you're a worthologist. Also, if we want to break it down, a book coach. Like you said you go by the book coach, the book coach. So can you share with us, and can you share with the successors what that big turning point was for you?
Actually, there was two. One, when I was a young adult, and then there's a big turning point when I got into adulthood and further along. One turning point was December 19, 1983, when I found myself with braces on behind my back going to jail for shoplifting. I was angry and frustrated with the system, so I thought I'd steal back and get back at the man, so to speak. So when I went to jail, I got out 45 minutes later. That wasn't too long of a stay in jail.
that's not too long of a sentence, but you still were there.
It impacted me for the rest of my life because that was my spiritual conversion. But on a book coach business level, it was October 27th, 2013. I remember that day. Remember it well. October 27, 2013, sitting at my house, I was in pain, agony. I had big titles. I had I was a professor. I was a pastor. I was a published author. I had 5 books. I mean, I had all of these accomplishments, but I was broke. I didn't have resources. I'm like, something's wrong with this picture. So I heard of this online teacher. She's going to teach about how to increase your income, your influence, and your impact. If you want to increase your impact, influence, and income, then sign into this webinar. It was a telephone conference call. I got on that call October 27, 2013, and it changed my life. She said, if you're struggling with this, if you got poor messaging, poor marketing, poor management, poor material, everything was poor. By the end of that broadcast, I was like, pour me some whiskey or something. You know,
that's a lot of poor.
But that teleconference revolutionized my life and thrusted me into coaching and the career that I'm enjoying now.
Okay. Dad, I'm just going to say this. Make sure you stay in the frame. I don't know if you're out of the frame, but make sure you stay in the frame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I edit this out. Okay. Yeah. So you talked about, you know, that being a big turning point. You said you were watching this young lady, and what, she was a coach.
Oh, yeah.
So you were watching a coach on TV, and with you being a coach, and I know you've dealt with different coaches, utilized their services. I know you've introduced me into personal development. You were my book writing coach, mm-hmm. who I work with, and now I have a coach because I'm in the personal development arena as well. So I think it's just a good question to ask here. Because now there are many people who say, or there are many people who might just step up and say, I'm a coach. Mm-hmm. I'm a coach. What do you need to do to be a coach? So why? The first question I want to ask you is, why hire a coach? Why should anyone hire a coach?
You don't know what you don't know.
Hmm.
And the most expensive thing you will ever pay is listening to Dodo, Slow, and Don't Know. The most expensive thing you're going to ever pay is attention to the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
So you hire a coach because a coach is going to help you get there faster. They're going to help you save a lot more time, mm-hmm. money, because a good coach, a qualified coach, mm-hmm. a well-vetted coach, mm-hmm. is going to help you save you. They're going to buy you time and help you avoid a lot of costly mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so help you.
Based off of their mistakes.
So that, and I think that's, I think that statement could almost be contradictory, because when we grow up and we go through school and we go through classes, they say, don't take shortcuts. Jonathan, don't take shortcuts in life. Yeah. You don't want to take shortcuts in life, because if you take shortcuts in life, then you won't have everything that you need when you arrive. But the thing I really enjoy. But go ahead. You say, I want to hear what you're about to say.
Go ahead.
I was about to say, the thing I really enjoy, and I've seen to be true with coaches, is that by hiring a coach, you're not taking a shortcut, but you're ultimately investing in the long term.
You're taking the best cut.
Okay. Talk about that.
You're taking the diamond cut. We were talking earlier about the diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Clarity. Mm-hmm. The character of the diamond.
Character, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's some other elements.
The color.
The color of the diamond. Mm-hmm. Those things are very, very important. School doesn't teach you how to create a job. School teaches you how to prepare to have a job. Coaches teach you how to create jobs.
That's good. Yeah, so and now I feel like the conversation has just shifted a little bit. And now we talk about how school teaches you how to work in a job.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching teaches you how to create a job, you said.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like there's a shift. And I feel that this hits on something that you typically talk about with your clients, and you typically talk about in your mastermind, when your group, when you begin to talk about mindset. Can you tell us a little bit about can you address that mindset between the shift of showing up every day, having 9-to-5, and showing up every day doing your own blank? Some people might even call it your own passion project. But how would you address that?
Mindset is how you look at a thing, how you see it. If you look at a glass, it's half empty or half full. Mindset is taking the limits off of life. Mm-hmm. Taking the limits off of you and saying to myself or to yourself, self, if I could create the life and business of my dreams, mm-hmm. what would I create? That's mindset. Mindset is saying it's possible, it's doable. But most people have been taught with a limited mindset. There are only so many jobs. There's only so much money. There's only so many positions the company is offering. But how about if you create the company? How about if you own the bank? How about if you are creating unlimited resources? That's mindset shift.
And I think that's really a good point that you hit on, because I was actually talking with a gentleman one day. He's a photographer, or he's a creative. His name's Najee Rashad on Instagram. And he began to tell me that it's funny when there's younger kids and there's students that are saying, I want to go to the NFL. I want to go to the NBA. That people are quick to point out percentages, and they're quick to say, well, only this many percent of people from high school end up making it to the NBA. However, when you began to discuss being a doctor, when you began to discuss being a lawyer, when you began to discuss being a professor, when you began to discuss being a teacher or a pastor, nobody wants to throw out percentages then. Why do you want to shut down a child's dreams if this child is motivated and if this child is now showing up to class on time, if this child is now performing in class, if this child is doing what is required for them to get to the next stage in their life, which might be college, and then the next stage from there may be trying to seek out the pros or wherever they might desire to go? Why would you shut their dreams down now and they say, you know what, I'm not motivated to go to class now because I can't make it to the NBA? Mm-hmm. So why do you attack that versus over here? And you want to redirect them to making them want to be a doctor, want to be a lawyer. What are your thoughts on that?
Mindset and perspective. Mindset and perspective. They're looking at it from a limited or scarcity mindset when you talk to the child who says, I want to play in the NFL. The child's chances of playing in the NFL are greater than any of those 16 or 32 owners owning a franchise in the NFL. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's even a tighter ratio or number to have that number of guys owning a monopoly over this game that millions and millions of people watch year in and year out. The child's chance of playing are greater than one of those owners becoming an owner.
And that's actually interesting you touched on that, because on the 100th episode, a topic I addressed was the scarcity mindset versus abundance thinking.
Oh my.
And then we really unpacked what that looked like. I laid out what a scarcity mindset. Scarcity mindset says, no, I'm going to keep this for myself. An abundance mindset says, no, I'll give it because there's more. Mm-hmm. And there was a good comparison there. But perspective, I think, is so huge. Because if an individual wants to see what they can truly create with their life, if we take it back and just begin to think, okay, we'll say the average man. I don't know the exact statistic, but I believe the average man in this day and age, it may be like 65, 70. It may be somewhere in there. Think if a child, young girl, young boy, mm-hmm. in high school commits their life. We'll say they commit their life to three things at that point. Somebody says, I'm going to be the best doctor in the world. I'm going to be the best husband in the world. And I'm going to be the best father. If they committed themselves to those three things from being a high schooler, and then just as they matriculated through college and then wherever they desired to go, they could be phenomenal at those three things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
However, I think that it's just the fact that sometimes we might get distracted.
Distracted, discouraged, dumped on, discounted.
And then I think that's when, as a child, or maybe even as an adult, then as we begin to get talked out of our dreams, or we almost begin to get hustled out of our dreams, then we say, you know what? Those I can't focus on those three things. So let me just focus on getting a job. Let me be safe.
Be ordinary. Fit in the box. Unlimited is a word that every one of your listeners ought to just embrace. That's why the name of my company is Fred Jones Unlimited, LLC. It's not Publish Me Now University. Publish Me Now University is the DBA, mm-hmm. doing business as. But Fred Jones Unlimited, LLC, my whole brand is to take the limits off of me and life, because your life informs your business.
That's good stuff. And that's really why, like, as me and you were going back and forth that one night when I was trying to figure out, Dad, what's a good tagline? What can we do here? How can we do this? And friends and family, the best way to get results, sometimes you have to get out of your own way, and sometimes you have to bring other people in on the vision. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to bring other people in on the journey, and then that way that really motivates you, mm-hmm. because there's some things that other people see that you can't see. That's why when we get in the car, we have rear view. We have mirrors all around. We have this mirror here. We have the rear view mirror so we can get this right here. And we can see this as well. And then we have the front so we can just see right out. Mm-hmm. However, that's when we came up with speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams.
There it is.
And at the end, I always say, why would you want to live any other way? Because I've come to the conclusion that through working with you, through working with my coaches, and seeing the amount of success that we've been able to obtain at this point, those opportunities, of course, God is opening doors. I cannot take credit for some of these doors that have been opened. However, I believe God blesses hard work.
Oh, yeah. The harder I work, the luckier I get.
That's what it says, but I'm eliminating the luck. I believe God blesses hard work. And then also, me and my pastor have gone back and forth, and we talked about favor. My pastor, Pastor Mahari, we've talked about favor, and we discussed how favor sometimes comes with a cost.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Favor sometimes comes with a struggle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Favor sometimes comes with some things that you don't want to embrace. So understanding that, man, there's so much good stuff here. I don't even know where to take it now. Okay, so we'll talk. So we talked about favor a little bit. We talked about who are you. We talked about you taking limits off of things, taking limits off people.
Absolutely.
So now let's ask the question, because what is your why? Simon Sinek introduced us to the why, and he brought the equation, probably one of the most watched TED Talks. Period. So I'm going to ask you, why do you do what you do?
Well, I'm going to take you on the shoulder and pull you over here and say, you are why I do what I do. I was asked that question in a mastermind in Atlanta, Georgia. She says, what's your big why? And I stood up there and I said, my sons are why I do what I do. Legacy is why I do what I do. I want to leave a seed. I want to lift others. I want to leave somebody empowering and enlightening others, just as you're doing, to do what I'm doing and what they are called to do for generations to come.
So, okay, so when we talk about legacy, because I've attended and also spoke at and been a part of, you know, the conferences that you've done, Write Your Worth Conference, a few years in Atlanta and New Orleans, and we talk about why. I know you've always talked about Grandmama B and Granddaddy Mo's and just the sacrifice that they put forth.
Mm-hmm.
And just understanding what they've done. And then you've written books mm-hmm. about both of them. And I know that that has helped you cultivate your why. So I want to ask you, what's the best way for an individual to begin to leave a legacy? Like, if you had to say a way that somebody who is asking themselves, well, Dr. Fred Jones, I hear you talking about legacy. Jonathan, I hear you talking about speaking your success. How can I begin to leave my legacy starting from right where I am right now? Let's say we're talking to an individual who's at their job. We'll say they're in between 27 and 30. We'll say that they have a college degree. And we'll say they're trying to figure out how to leave a legacy.
Too many people have been told that they're too young to do certain things.
Hmm.
That's a curse. That's bad information. That's listening to the wrong people. The best way to leave a legacy is to put your story in print. Write it. And don't trust the pen to somebody else when your story is being written.
Mm.
Always write your story, because it is the solution to somebody else's struggle.
That's good. And I've also always hear you say, and I always tell people this as well, that when it comes to people telling you what you can and can't do, or when it comes to people talking about your story, I always borrow your line and I always say that you're an expert of your own experience.
Oh, that's a good one. Yes, you
because are. I think sometimes we can, sometimes depending on how beat up we are, or how exhausted we are, how tired we are, we may get to a place of where we just begin to accept certain things.
Compromise, settle in.
Yeah, because you know what? I got a job opportunity. I got an interview. I killed it. They gave me an offer for this much.
Mm-hmm.
I need this much to pay my bills. But however, this is the job that they just offered me. I need to take this job.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just go ahead and take this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you're talking about a legacy. You say put it in writing.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about putting it in writing. What does that look like? Are we saying that everybody should write a book, Dr. Jones?
I would say everybody should write a book. Everybody that's of age, everybody who can speak, children should write books. If you're old enough to tell a story, if you got something to say, there's somebody coming after you that can benefit from what you're saying or what you have experienced. That's the key. You're not writing to tell somebody ahead of you what to do. You're writing to tell people who are coming after you what you've done and how they can either avoid or embrace things that you've done. So I think everybody ought to write a book. Now, research says that 87% of Americans want to write a book. 8 to 9 of people want to write a book. Writing a book, yes, they should do it. But writing has changed. Writing, you can write a book without a pen. You can speak a book right here. Transcription, transcribe, book is written. Most people's challenge with writing a book is mindset. They thinking writing with a pen and a piece of paper, and they don't think audiobook, they don't think ebook, they don't think video book, they don't think any of those things. They just think pen and a paper. I gotta sit down. This right here is considered, is it a short read? It's not a short read, it's a Kindle single.
Oh, yeah, you did. Okay.
This right here, if transcribed, recorded, matter of fact, we should make this a Kindle single. Take the recording and put a title to it and upload it. And it's a book. Everybody should do it. Everybody. Everybody.
Okay, so Dr. Jones, you just said everybody should write a book. You said if they're of age, children should write books because there's somebody coming behind them who could benefit from this experience. Now, I just have to poke the bear a little bit here.
Poke it.
I have to poke the bear a little bit. In this time of technology, everything's moving so fast. People are saying nobody's reading books. People are saying, why read a book if I can watch it on TV? Why watch it on TV? Because I don't have time for that. Because everybody's so just, this is a social media generation. This is the selfie time. This is the selfie time period. Everybody's focused on themselves. So in this time, technology and everything included, why is writing a book, is it really that important because somebody's coming behind you and leaving a legacy, or is there something more you want to add there?
There's more I'd like to add. Number one, okay. If you're going to write a book, you want to write it right the first time so it'll work for you for a lifetime.
Okay.
Your book is a legal document. Now, I'm going to just go on record to say this because a lot of people are getting it twisted. If you're out here listening to somebody who doesn't have a legal background, who doesn't know intellectual property, and who perhaps is not a lawyer, and they're helping you write a book, you probably done wrote your book wrong. You probably think you own the book, and you don't own the book because you've given away your copyright to your publisher, whoever you call your publisher. So I won't go in too deep on that, but your book is a legal document, and whoever's going to coach you need to have legal knowledge about writing it. Now, you say, what about writing a book? And should everybody really write a book because a lot of people are busy? Yes, you should write a book. Remember, writing a book doesn't necessarily mean with a pen. It can be speaking. So there are audio books.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You got to think about that. People are consuming podcasts such as this that you're on right now. So that's another way for them to get that content.
Okay.
But here's why you should write a book. Here's why everybody should write
a book. Help us out.
Books produce transformation in the lives of those who see your book. They may never read your book, but they may just know that you wrote a book. And the mere fact that you wrote it will open up speaking doors, open up consultation doors. The writing of a book positions the author of that book as an expert and as an authority that will give them an opportunity to get in other doors of coaching, speaking, consulting, training that will cause you to get bigger bucks. The book produces perception transformation.
I like that. And that brings me to just thinking about a time where I was actually doing the keynote at the Potter's House. It was an internship expo. And then a young man came up to me after I spoke. He came to my book table and he was looking at the book. He was like, wow.
Yeah.
He said, I've never seen a black author before.
Wow. Now see, yeah. Just changed his life.
And after I looked at this young man, he rocked me. I was like, wow. And then we began to have a conversation. I asked him, what did you want to do? What do you want to be? He told me he wants to be the first Hispanic president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing that goes back to your point of the transformation just by, because it starts, vision starts with somebody seeing it first, if it's with their eyes open or with their eyes closed. That's where vision starts. And then you begin to work towards it and then ultimately seek to manifest it from there. Dr. Fred, I know you're a busy man. I know you have a conference to get ready for. So I wanna go ahead and just begin to wind this down. So what we do here at the Speaker Success Podcast, our successors here, that they enjoy good quotes. So we always do a quote of the week. So I wanna ask you, since you're in the studio with us, since you're hanging out with us today, we're in the Pocono Mountains. They say the air is thinner up here. I can't tell. I can't tell. The thin air feels pretty good. So I'm just curious to hear from you. What is your favorite quote that you can give us?
I got several, but I'll just...
Just give us one, and then from there, I'm gonna ask you a follow-up question.
The most expensive thing you will ever pay is attention to the wrong people.
Friends, those of you who are following us and those of you who are tuning in, once again, we want to take this time and we want to let you know that if you would like to connect with us via social media, be sure to use the hashtag SYSP and mention me at Jonathan J Speaks. Or even if you want to drop this gem that Dr. Fred just dropped, you can mention him at Dr. Fred Jones on Twitter. And once again, Dr. Fred, can you share that quote with us one more time?
The most expensive thing you'll ever pay is attention to the wrong people.
I love it. And then can you just expound on that a little bit? I think it's self-explanatory, but just break that down for us a little bit.
I'll tell you what that really boils down to. And you kind of, I've been waiting for a back door to give you my second favorite quote, but I'll tie it in right here. If you're listening to somebody who doesn't see your value and doesn't know your worth, you're paying a high price to give them your attention. If you're listening to somebody who doesn't see your unlimited value, your unrestrained worth, you're paying a high price to give them your attention, okay? Because your value is unlimited. Your worth is without measure, but your price is what you're willing to accept. And too many people are paying a high price listening to the wrong people. The wrong coaches, the wrong teachers, the wrong professors, the wrong preachers. Because you got to go where you're celebrated and not where you're tolerated, and you'll always be appreciated.
I'm actually glad that you hit us with that quote, because I've heard Dr. Eric Thomas say that quote recently, but every time I hear him say it, I said, no. My dad coined that phrase a long time ago, a very long time ago. So I really get excited about that quote. And I think that quote is a great resource for the successors to hear on the podcast and just to take and just to reflect and just let that breathe a little bit. To know that they need to go places where they're celebrated,
not where they're tolerated. And they'll always be appreciated and compensated. Properly.
And that's one thing that I've began to realize as well, too. When you talk about compensation, there's a different, because we talked about settling earlier.
Yeah.
And then I've been able to see this now since I've been speaking. It's been 3 years since I gave my first speech. It's been 2 years since I've transformed it into a business with Jonathan Jones Speaks. And now understanding that I can put out a proposal. I've put out a proposal with my fee. And there's some people that looked at the numbers. They say, oh, this looks good. This looks good. Oh, the budget looks good. We can pay that. That's fine. They give me no hassle. What do you need? What else do you need, Mr. Jones? Your travel. Let us know where you need to stay. Do I need to pick you up from the airport? These are people you know who are celebrating you. These are people who you know value you. People who ask, well, what would you like to eat? How would you like for us to go? And then there's sometimes people, granted, I know some places don't always have the budget, and you negotiate through those things, and that's fine. But then there are some people who do have the budget. But then still they're like, no, well, we're not going to do that. No. And then that's, I think, sometimes when it gets to that place of where you can settle. Or you make the decision to say, well, you know what, I think... this might be that we might need to go separate ways, because everybody at the end of the day is not your client.
Oh, you got to know that.
You can't save everybody.
No, you will not. Nobody ever pay you what you're worth. They'll only pay you what you agree to accept.
You're trying to hit us with all the extra quotes.
So it just matter what you want to accept. You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. That's very true. But since we're talking about resources, you gave us some good quotes. Mm-hmm. You gave us some good gems, as they say. Drop some gems. But now, also, what would be a favorite book of yours that you have read, that you're currently reading, that you would just say to a successor, to somebody who's saying, I'm looking for a good book, I'm looking for something that would help me shift my mindset?
Oh, my goodness.
What would be a good book?
You're going to take me all the way back to high school. Little bitty green book, I'm not even sure if it's in print still, called The Spice of Life. The Spice of Life. Mm-hmm. And so it was green back then, a little hardcover book. Okay. And it had this little poem in it, The Man Who Thinks He Can.
Go ahead. Tell us the poem. I actually said it on episode of the podcast.
Really?
I said it for a quote of the week. But you can go. You can give us a snippet, or you can give us the whole poem.
We have time. If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win but think you can't, it's almost certain that you won't. If you think you've lost, you've lost. For out of the world we find success begins with the fellow's will. It's all in your state of mind. I'm gonna stop right there.
All right. All right, the spice of life, So, Dr. Fred, I'm about to go ahead and let you get out of here, but where can the successors find you? If somebody wants to connect with you, they want to get more information about self-publishing, they want to just see about more of your content, where can they go and find you? Or they want to reach out and see about working with you, where would they need to go?
drfredjones.com, that's my website, dr, no period, drfredjones.com is where you can find me, or you can find me on Facebook, Dr. Fred Jones. That's my page on Facebook.
Excellent, excellent. And then, Dr. Fred, also, we were chatting earlier, and you said that before, you said that you have a giving heart. You said that you like to give people something, and I told you, I said, you know, here, speak your success. The successors, we go for tangible, we go for transparent, and we go for real application. And then you began to say that you recently just did an ebook.
Oh, yeah, I got an ebook. Are you conforming or transforming? Mm-hmm. Are you conforming or transforming? And you want to be a transformer, okay? So if they'll send me the word worth,
okay,
text the word worth, W-O-R-T-H, to 66866, 66866, and type in the word worth, you'll be on my email list. We'll get that offer out to you right away.
Excellent. We're going to have that information down in the show notes for you, as well as we're going to have it going across the bottom of the screen so we can make sure the successors have opportunity to reach out to you and get that, because that's a free gift.
Yeah, it's a digital ebook that is going to challenge you to get outside the box and to take the limits off of life.
Are you conforming or are you transforming? Wow. Okay, excellent. Dr. Fred, I want to thank you for taking the time to stop by.
Yes.
We're going to get ready to get out of here. You have some final words you'd like to share?
Yes. And if for some reason you text and you don't receive that book, send an email to support@drfredjones.com. support@drfredjones.com. I want to thank you for the time of having me here. This is a phenomenal work. Speak your success. Create the life and business of your dreams. I'm very proud of what you're doing. And I just, John, you hired your first coach in high school. That's something that have always stood out to me. You hired a coach with your own money in high school. So you're not just talking this. You have lived this and you continue to live this. Then you hired me as your book coach. So I will say to all of your audience, invest in you. You cannot build a business off of free. You cannot build a business off of discounts. You cannot build a business trying to take shortcuts or doing it the cheap way. If you want to rise to the high level, you're going to have to hire a coach. And I'll say this last thing. It is a curse to hire a cheap coach. You are only cursing yourself because you have not tapped into your unlimited value. And when you know how unlimited your worth and value is, there's no price too high to pay for the right coach.
That's good. We might have to bring you back for part two. We might have to do a part two because this is a lot that I feel that we can really unpack, especially when we just talk about coaching yourself. But we're going to let you get out of here. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. Successors, as we always do, first we want to just remind you, if you would like to add value, or if this is added value to you, we would just encourage you to go on to Apple. We'd encourage you to scroll down to the bottom after you type in Speak Your Success and then click that write a review button. Hopefully it's a 5-star review. And then after you do that, please share with us your feedback, your insight, or even topics that you would like to hear. Or if you'd like more information on me, go to jonathanjonespeaks.com. If you'd like to book me for your next event, you want me to MC, you want me to speak to your individuals, to your corporation, whatever it might be, would encourage you to go there. But this is TEDx speaker and best-selling author Jonathan Jones, who's hanging out with Dr. Fred in the studio today, always reminding you to speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you want to live any other way?